We on labor radio are familiar with that. So these strike authorization votes have been going on during the months of June and July and more in August.
Oh, yes.
And all of them are in person. And can you give us a sense of about what percentage yes voting to authorize a strike?
Well, right now, if we just stop the strike votes, which we can't, but if we stop right now, we would have totally the yes votes that we need. The turnout has been wonderful.
Why don't you tell us about the next vote that's coming up in Southwest Washington?
Yeah, Southwest Washington's votes, they're going to be held on July 29th and 30th. They're going to be held at the Hilton downtown across from Esther Shore Park. We're urging everyone to please show up and vote, show your support. We also have a calendar that if you need to know when the next vote is in a different area, you can go online at the UFCW Local 555 site. It has all the meetings listed, all the times, and all the locations.
And all of our members will be notified so many ways on their votes coming up. We are going to be texting them if we have their phone number and permission to text them. We will be sending out postcards to their homes. We will be putting posters up in their break rooms. We will ensure that everybody knows how they can get to their strike meetings because it is so important that they show up, and we want to make it as accessible as possible for them to reach those meetings.
If you are unable to attend your area's strike votes, please reach out to your local rep and see if there's something that we can do so that your voice can be heard. We urge every member to vote.
Great.
Oh.
Wow. So the main issue that we've been hearing about is gender equity, about equal pay for women workers. So what's going on with that?
So something that we were able to find out recently because we obtained the data from employers is that women workers at Fred Meyer are being funneled into what's called Schedule B positions. Fred Meyer has a two-tier wage system called Schedule A and Schedule B. Schedule A is positions like on the cold wall and grocery and so on. Schedule B is your workers in the deli, like I was in the bakery, so on and so forth. We have plenty of data on that. If anybody would like to look it up, we'll tell you at the end how to find everything. And workers in Schedule A, their most common wage is $17.22. Workers in Schedule B, that's $13.69, most common wage. That is a $3.53 pay gap. Over the course of a career, that is over $300,000. That can buy you a home. That can put all three of your children through college, and that can buy you 10 cars. And we don't think that it is right for the men who run Fred Meyer to make their money by paying women who are in Schedule B less, because two-thirds of the workers that are in Schedule B are women, two-thirds of the workers that are in Schedule A are men.
You know, I'm just thinking about my my Safeway grocery store, and I'm looking at the people who work in produce. They are all men. I'm looking at the people that work in the deli and in bakery.
They're all
women.
We have it where they are actually men and women working in the same schedule, like Schedule A or Schedule B, and mm-hmm. the women still make less than the men doing the same job.
Wow.
And something we would like to say about this is we are not saying that Fred Meyer is knowingly and consciously executing a gender pay gap. A lot of this could very well be the cause of unconscious bias, which is something that we all fall prey to. The thing about being in a position of privilege and power is that if you find out that you are doing something that hurts other people, it is your duty to fix it. So we are demanding that Fred Meyer fix the gap now that we have raised consciousness about this pay gap issue. And so far, Fred Meyer has not been willing to budge.
And that's the big issue on the bargaining table. So
go ahead. But that's not it, because we still have our workers in Schedule A who are not paid nearly enough to feed their families and live in their communities with dignity. So we aren't just saying that Fred Meyer must close the gap. They must close the gap and make it so that all of our members can lead a decent life.
Mm-hmm. We need a living wage.
Yeah, 17
we work not. There. We can't even afford to shop in our own stores. And half of us still need to have public assistance or go to a food bank just to make ends meet. That's not okay.
No, it is unconscionable that the executives that Fred Meyer has are being paid millions of dollars. They just increased their dividends by about 14% for their shareholders. These profits are going to shareholders off of the backs of these working women and these working men and people of all genders. And it is not okay.
Yeah, they just actually changed our uniform as well. They couldn't put money in our pockets, but every one of us has a brand new pretty black apron that they need us to wear on every shift.
Mm-hmm.
They could have used that money for us.
14% shareholder dividend. That's
a lot of money.
That's a pretty decent return. Wow.
Well, that was an increase on top. So they've been consistently increasing these shareholder dividends, mm-hmm. yet they've also been consistently refusing to give us adequate pay raises.
So how long has this been going on, and why is this especially the gender pay gap issue coming to the fore?
To my knowledge, it's been going on a long time. I couldn't give you specific dates, but it came to the foreground because they actually, when all this started, sent us our data. We weren't looking for this information. We didn't seek it out. It was given to us. And as we got to looking at it, we saw patterns. And as we started investigating, now it's being brought out. It's not something we actually went looking for. It's something that they, their own information, they sent us, and we happened to notice it.
They made a mistake. Does it have anything to do with this upsurge of activity among women workers nationwide, including especially teachers and nurses who have been striking?
It sure could.
The teacher strikes were so incredibly inspiring, as well as the workers at other UFCW locals across the nation. As you know, Stop and Shop over in, I believe it was New England, went on strike for 11 days. And they got what they needed.
Mm-hmm.
They showed such a strong display of unity and solidarity that just a little while later down the road, their Macy's workers in that same local had a unanimous strike vote. And within hours, the company capitulated and was willing to come back to the table and get them what they need.
Mm-hmm.
So when we stand together, we win.
This is an exciting time. So you two have been talking with hundreds, right, of members.
Oh yeah, easily hundreds.
For you.
Yeah, easily.
About this contract campaign and this strike authorization. So what other issues are agitating the workers out there?
Well, most of the people that work in the stores, as myself, my fellow workers, it is our living wage. That is definitely a mainstay for us. It's also our health care. It's also our benefits that we've already won in legislation that they are trying to take away from us. I sit on the committee table, and we go over everything. And at your strike votes, you can look at their proposals versus our proposals, and you can see all this information for yourself. A lot of the things that they are totally denying us or trying to take from us, we've already won.
So what are you talking about, legislation that they're trying to take away?
Our health care is one major, major thing. Back in 1994, they struck Fred Meyers. It lasted for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
We went back after 3 months and accepted what we went striking for, but then it was different. Now we have a health care reserve that they want to take from us to use to pay for our own raises.
Hmm.
And that's okay. Not okay. We've already won that. We have that because Dan Clay is very smart and he made great decisions. And we have that reserve now because of the great decisions that he made. And we'd like to keep what we earned.
Dan Clay is your president.
He is our president, yes.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And Tina, the way that I was understanding the healthcare issue is they want to take a dollar out of our right pocket, put a dime in our left pocket, and put 90 cents in their bank account.
Exactly.
Is that correct?
That's correct.
And this is all around healthcare, is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then there's wages, there's health care, there's also
they're
hours.
They're scheduling our hours. We get hired on for a certain thing. You can be hired in at 8 hours. You can be hired in 12. You can be hired in at 20. They'll promise you the moon. After your 90-day probation is up, you get whatever they give you.
Mm.
So you're guaranteed in your mind, hey, I'm going to get those 20 hours that they promised me. So that's what you budget your bills on, right? You get your schedule. You're lucky to get 12.
Yeah, I've noticed in talking to the workers at my neighborhood store that's a big issue.
Very big. You can't guarantee what you're going to get.
They've been cutting back over the years,
mm-hmm.
right? People
exactly.
used to be full-time.
Or they'll hire somebody in off the floor that has never even worked in your position and pay them 15 cents less than what you've done. You're journeyman level. You've put your time in. You've put your experience in. And they'll hire somebody else and give them your hours because they can pay them less.
Mm-hmm.
It's not okay.
Right, Sam.
Ours in particular is a great example to show how inequity compounds, because when I was working in the deli at Fred Meyer, I have consistent doctor's appointments I need to go to. I needed 4 hours a week, just one day, to have my doctor's appointments, and they refused to schedule me full-time because of that. The store is open about 170 hours a week, and they found it so unacceptable that I just needed 4 hours a week to attend to myself. So these companies are expecting workers to dedicate their entire lives. But if on top of those 4 hours you have to maybe pick your kid up one day, they're going to slash your hours. So
yeah, they'll give you those hours off. But the next week, be prepared because you're going to pay for the hours that you asked for. They'll definitely cut your schedule.
And so do people's schedules change from week to week?
Week to week, day to day. Oh, you can look at your schedule today, go in tomorrow, and it's been changed. It's different.
But something that we've had recently, which was a major victory, is about a year ago today, the Fair Work Week law went into effect, which means that when they do that, we advocate for our workers and we say, hey, if you're going to schedule him like 2 hours later than he was going to be today originally, you need to pay him that compensatory hour.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the ways that we're not backing down from just the day-to-day activities for our workers just because we're in the middle of negotiations. Nothing ever stops.
Yeah, the enforcement of the law.
Yeah, and just like our schedules now, we're supposed to get them 2 weeks ahead of time, and that's thanks to the union as well.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, we're doing the best that we can with what we have, and that's why we're here today. That's why these strike votes are happening. We need things to change. We need a living wage. We need our health care. We need to be able to go to work and be guaranteed the hours that we were supposed to get.
Because it is unacceptable that we have members who are living in their cars, living in their break rooms, because they don't have a solid guarantee of how many hours they're going to get. They don't have any predictability. And how can somebody make a life off of that?
Really?
And we were told at the table when we were talking to them and explaining to them about the people living in the break rooms and in the tents that our economical stresses and problems weren't any of their concern. That's not true.
Oh. So you... Tina, you've been at the bargaining table.
Since day one.
Talking to these people.
Mm-hmm.
What's that been like? Talk about that.
It made me realize what they think of us as employees.
Mm.
Not even employees, as people.
Mm-hmm.
We don't matter to them. The only thing that matters to them is the almighty dollar. We can be replaced. It doesn't matter that that person wouldn't know how to do it. It's a body. It fills the position, and they can throw them in there and pay them less.
So is this your first time on a bargaining
team? On this bargaining team, yes.
Yeah. So you're getting a lesson in management attitude.
I learned really quick as much on
the floor, but especially when they're across the table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
really
totally different.
Yeah.
Totally different.
Well, if you're just tuning in, this is KBOO Portland with Labor Radio. We're talking with Tina Birchwolski and Sam Hughes, grocery workers, about the fight for pay equity and a fair contract for grocery workers in Oregon and Southwest Washington. So there hasn't been a grocery strike in this town since 1994, as I recall. I don't know if there's been others in the state, but... I remember there was a Fred Meyer strike back in 94.
Yeah, at my store. It was Fred Meyer's on Checkloff at Mill Plain. It's store 208.
Yeah.
It lasted for about 3 months.
I think there was one in, wasn't there one in Portland as well?
I don't have the answer to that.
There was. Yeah, and then there was a big grocery strike in Southern California, which I think didn't turn out too well, as I recall. But you mentioned, Sam, the 3,100 grocery workers in New England at the Stop and Shop were on strike for 11 days and won. And so a lot of people around the country, particularly women, are looking at these strikes and saying, wow, we could do that.
No. Not just women. It's the women and men. It's the community. It's our other union members. It's other unions. They are all looking at what's going on, and they are actually supporting us in our efforts. It's male. It's female. It's not just a gender.
So you say you mean outside of the workforce itself, you're seeing that support?
Yeah, the community, other unions, not just our union, but other unions, such as the Teamsters, the truck drivers, they're all supporting us, too. They see what's going on.
So... One of the reasons the Stop and Shop strike was so successful was that the Teamsters refused to drive the trucks.
Exactly. You can't get your
across
product.
Across the line. And, of course, they had such community support that, like, 90% of the stores were like empty. There were no customers.
Yeah, and that's what we tell our other workers, our other employees. Our customers care about us, even if Kroger doesn't. Our customers do, and they see what we do on a daily basis.
And what is so exciting right now is it's as if we are in a union renaissance, because the Teamsters helped over in New England with the Stop and Shop workers. I recently saw the headlines about the Teamsters in Southern California, because they are going through the same process we are right now. Those Teamsters already agreed that they are going to support the stop or the workers in Southern California for UFCW 555. And we
also are they going through a similar negotiations in Southern California right now?
Oh, yes, it is going on. And we wish all of our union family in Southern California the best of the world and the best contract.
Yeah. So what kind of so you think that your members are ready to strike?
I think we've had enough. We're tired and we deserve more.
But they haven't. These are folks that have never experienced a strike, pretty much, right?
No, now we have people that have been in service for 20, 30 years in these stores.
Oh.
And then we have the newbies as well. So some people have experienced it. A lot of the meat department has been through a lot of it. So some of us know what to expect, some of us don't. But we can expect that our union brothers and sisters, we're going to stick for each other and we'll help each other in any way we possibly can.
And it certainly helps to have some veterans that
it does
know what's about to happen.
And the sticking together has been so important, because those veteran members are going to be the ones that are mentoring and guiding the new ones on how to get through a strike. And we have been consistently working to ensure that our members feel like we have their backs when they are on the strike line.
Yeah, we're not alone, and we know that.
So is there anything else you'd like to tell our listeners about your struggle in particular? That we haven't touched on?
I think we've touched on just about everything, other than the fact that our communities to support us, how to do that.
Go ahead.
We have had ongoing efforts to engage our community, and we have been blown away at how supportive our customers and wider community have been. Several months ago, we were standing in front of stores and handing out postcards telling people our plight, and they were so supportive. We had people that wanted to take selfies with us.
I have people stopping at the line. I run a check stand. I work, I'm cashier, and I have them stop me when I'm bagging their, and checking them out to talk to me about this.
Yes, and talking to your grocery members in the stores as a customer is one of the best things you can do to support us. So if you're in the deli line and you're getting a salad, tell that deli worker that if you guys go on strike, I'll be there for you. I'm going to support you and make sure that you get what you need to lead a decent life.
Wear the buttons. Show the community.
And speaking of buttons and community, one of the things that we are encouraging the community to do right now is to sign a petition stating that very fact, that you will do what it takes to support us when we go on strike. The link to get to that petition is b.link/standwithus.
b.link/standwithus.
Yes, that is the link to the petition where you say you are not going to cross a strike line and you are going to support us, because that just means the world.
Fabulous. I was at Fred Meyer's on Hawthorne the other day, and there was there were folks from, I think, the Oregon AFL-CIO that were getting signatures on a petition and passing out flyers to customers. And there was a delegation that went in and talked to the management, which is great, including folks from the ministers and rabbis, folks from the faith communities trying to forward the moral, yes.
And that is that is so exciting, because it shows how much our community stands for us when they are willing to go out on their own and they are willing to say, like, hey, we stand with these Fred Meyer workers and we are going to go and do whatever we can think is supportive to help them.
Right. Do you know of any other community activities that are coming up that people can participate in?
Well, in Southwest Washington, we do have the strike votes coming up. As for anything else on the agenda, I do not know. I do know that we have been going into the stores and talking to people on a weekly basis to make sure that it's still fresh in their mind and to let them know when the strike vote days and times and where, you know, to go. As for any other activities, not to my knowledge, but that doesn't mean that I'm correct.
And just because there isn't a formalized event at the moment for customers to support us doesn't mean that there are no options. If you have a friend who works in a Fred Meyer store and they have a strike vote coming up, ask them if they know how they're going to get there. And if your friend doesn't know how they'll get to their strike vote, offer to maybe drive them and a few of their coworkers. And plan with them what's going to happen once they go on strike, because telling people that you support them is very reassuring, but making a plan is that next step.
I know that my experience with strikes, the folks on the picket line always appreciate coffee and food and people
just coming out and talking and standing and showing your support is tremendous.
Yeah. So how can our listeners keep up to date about this campaign? Is there a website or Facebook page or?
A lot of times you can go in, you can talk to the store stewards in the stores, you can talk to the union reps that also can be found. There is a website too, the UFCW Local 555, which gives all the information with links going to different things, such as the Women of 555, such as the petition. There's always a way to get knowledge.
What is Women of 555?
Women of 555 is the campaign that we have going out right now about the Schedule A and Schedule B and the wage discrepancies.
All right.
It's actually faces of the women. There's 10, I believe. Mm-hmm. Five are actually employed in the stores, and then five are union members.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the campaign that we're showing for that discrepancy, for the wage discrepancy.
What I wanted to touch on was ways that people can stay in touch with us.
Yeah.
We have been seeing a lot of press, which is lovely, but if you want to get it straight from us, we have a Facebook page, which is UFCW Local 555. Our Instagram is the same, UFCW Local 555, and our Twitter handle is just UFCW 555 without the word local.
Okay.
And we can give people all of the updates there, and it's a great place to, you know, drop a comment and say, I won't cross a picket line. And we always appreciate that.
And a lot of people have been putting comments and things in there. And as other members, like us employees, we see it and we'll answer on there, as well as the union when they see it, they answer as well. So it's a great, great wealth of information.
Great. Well, that wraps it up for tonight's Labor Radio. Every Monday at 6 o'clock. And we've been talking to Tina Birchwolski and Sam Hughes, grocery workers, about fixing the gap and gender equity for grocery workers and the possible strike. And a final announcement about before we end tonight's radio show, there's a rally this Friday, Postal Heritage Day, the 244th anniversary of the U.S. Post Office, my main squeeze. And on Friday, the 26th at noon at the West Lynn Post Office, which is threatened with closure. Thanks to Mike, our engineer, and stay tuned for Prison Pipeline.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Every doctor commits to do no harm in the treatment of patients. Yet people with mental health needs who seek treatment and support at Portland area hospitals instead often find themselves arrested and entangled in the criminal justice system. Why are hospitals criminalizing mental illness? Join me on Prison Pipeline July 22nd as Disability Rights Oregon reveals its new report, The Unwanteds, Looking for Help, Landing in Jail. That's Prison Pipeline July 22nd at 6:30 p.m.
KABU Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KABU in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. The KABU Board of Directors usually meets every fourth Monday, but the July meeting on Monday, July 22nd is canceled. The next KABU Board of Directors meeting will be Monday, August 26th at 6 p.m.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Hiroshima and Nagasaki Memorial 2019 on Tuesday, August 6th at 6 p.m. at the Japanese American Historical Plaza in Portland. This year, the annual Hiroshima Nagasaki Memorial event is focused on the unequal impacts of nuclear weapons, and we'll explore the disproportionate impacts that nuclear weapons have on women, children, indigenous communities, and communities of color. Again, that's Hiroshima and Nagasaki Memorial 2019, the unequal impacts of nuclear weapons, on Tuesday, August 6th at 6 p.m. at the Japanese American Historical Plaza at Northwest NATO Parkway and Cooch Street in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Stay tuned here with us at KBOO Portland as Prison Pipeline will be coming up in just a few moments. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back. KBOO Community Radio is proud to broadcast locally to Portland, Corvallis, Hood River, and everywhere in between. But what if you're too far to listen to KBOO on the radio? Never fear. There are always ways to connect to KBOO no matter where you are by listening online. KBOO offers two web streams that are compatible with iTunes and most media players. Even if you're in a slower connection, you'll be able to listen to our original music, news, and public affairs programs. Find out more about how you can listen to KBOO anywhere you happen to be by going to kboo.fm/listen. Now, stay tuned for Prison Pipeline.
Every doctor commits to do no harm in the treatment of patients. Yet people with mental health needs who seek treatment and support at Portland area hospitals instead often find themselves arrested and entangled in the criminal justice system. Why are hospitals criminalizing mental illness? Join me on Prison Pipeline July 22nd as Disability Rights Oregon reveals its new report, The Unwanteds, Looking for Help, Landing in Jail. That's Prison Pipeline July 22nd at 6:30 p.m.
Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel?
Welcome to Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland. I'm Karen James. My guest is Sarah Radcliffe, Managing Attorney for the Mental Health Rights Project at Disability Rights Oregon. Sarah just released her report, The Unwanteds, Looking for Help, Landing in Jail, an analysis of how trespass arrests at Portland area hospitals criminalize mental illness. Welcome, Sarah.
Hi, Karen. Thank you.
So, Sarah, Disability Rights Oregon has for years visited jails and prisons and has worked tirelessly to improve